Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.
All right. Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger, a.k.a. After N-Word. And I'm joined by my illustrious co-host, Miss 100%. And tonight, we got for you a special interview with producer Makita Fay, Ph.D. So you know she's intelligent. So, if you want to holler at us, 646-929-2037 is the call-in number. Once again, we're interviewing producer Makita Fay tonight, and the number to call in is 646-929-2037. And, of course, we want to hear from you. You can follow us. You can go to our Smooth Drama site. You can join our Smooth Drama group from the Smooth Drama site. We social network. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, tag my yearbook. I mean, you name the social network, I'm on it. Twitter, you can follow me, Smooth Drama. Everywhere else, Facebook on down, Dick Hugger. Add me, I'll add you back. And, you know, of course, I can't go without saying, you got to look up my homegirl, Miss 100%. Okay. Sorry for the technical difficulty, but we are back. Yeah, that was weird. Once again, tell them where they can stalk you at, Miss 100%.
Yeah, Miss 100% spelled out on Facebook, Miss Sure Thing on tag, or you can don't call me. You can email me directly at imnotonbs@yahoo.com.
Why can't they call you?
No, you won't be doing that.
Wow. You selfish.
I know. I'm just not ready for that yet.
You're not ready for all that?
Can't you understand? I'm not ready for that.
Fine. Ain't ready. She ain't ready, y'all. But you try and stalk her anyway. Oh, my goodness. So, while you're stalking Miss 100%, you can think about this social networking thing. And we all know Facebook is the place to be right about now. But I'm thinking 100, people are going a little too crazy about this social networking thing. I mean, it's like between I got to update and tell y'all everything I'm doing every 3 minutes. The whole, for instance, there's this guy charged with battery on his wife because she didn't comment on his Facebook status. Yeah.
Take it too far.
Yeah, the guy, he posted a comment on his Facebook page about the anniversary of his mother's death, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because his wife didn't hit the like button, he told her he was unhappy that she did not respond. So, that's when the fight started. And he started whooping on her.
Wow. That's not funny.
No, it's not funny. But it's funny because how retarded are you? To a Facebook status. Oh, she didn't hit like on the Facebook status. So, is on.
Yeah.
I mean, you think that, well, y'all kind of married. You can just, like, talk to her?
Mm-hmm.
They would be in the same house, right? No.
You know what? That's a whole nother thing, because let me tell you something about that. Being in the same house and, you know, the mother-in-law dying, and if you don't say the right thing or you don't say anything at all, you're being accused of being insensitive, or you didn't love her, or, you know, all of this different kind of stuff. You know what? This goes way beyond social networking. Maybe the marriage counselor, even a marriage counselor or a divorce one.
Well, I'm thinking they're getting divorced now.
Pretty much.
They should. Because I feel like if you attack me because I didn't comment on something on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
we are at the end.
Yeah. I would imagine so.
I mean, speaking of the end, you know, I'm stuck on stupid people here for a minute. I ran across, there's a guy who I guess he was over in Iraq when they took down the Saddam Hussein bronze statue.
Mm-hmm.
He cut off a piece of the ass. And now he's selling a piece of the ass at an auction.
I thought that was illegal to sell ass.
I'm curious as to who would want to buy a piece of Saddam's ass.
I'm glad Bush would buy it.
Well, he probably hit it, but... That's a whole different conversation. I mean, for those of you who are interested, it's going to be at the Hanson Auctioneers on October 27th. So if you want a piece of Saddam's ass.
I mean, some museum will buy it.
It really?
And argue that it's a part of history, a piece of art.
A piece of Saddam's bronze ass is mm-hmm. to you?
Yeah.
Mm.
That's not to me, but that's what they'll say. They say anything is art or history.
Mm. Yeah. I'm thinking I'm a pass on that art, history, as you call it. But that's me. And since we on Saddam's ass right now, there was an Egyptian man who looked like Saddam Hussein. Is that there was a gang of Iraqi kidnappers who tried to force him to act in a porno film. Hold on now, it gets deep here. They offered him $330,000
to. Oh, he's stupid as hell. He didn't do it.
They offered him to play Hussein in a sex tape, which is going to be sold to the media as a quote-unquote authentic recording of Saddam Hussein having sex.
He turned him down.
He turned him down, and then he said three men had guns hanging from his belt, forced him into a car, shoved him into, took him out of his car, threw him into a van, hit him in the head, and drove off, but then they start arguing, and then they tossed him out.
You know what? Let me tell you something. For 300-something, you said 300-something
$1,000?
$330,000. $330,000. You can put a beret, a beard, a mustache, and a strap-on on me, and I'll pretend like I'm Saddam Hussein for that amount of money. Oh, my bad.
Yeah, anyway. To make it even worse, this wasn't even the first time that had been thought of.
But you know what?
No, there was a CIA plot before the 2003 invasion of Iraq where the CIA was considering putting on a hoax video featuring a Saddam lookalike having sex with a teenage boy.
Mm-hmm.
going to make it look like it was taken by a hidden camera.
Wait a minute now. They was gonna video how the sex with little boy. Oh, God.
Yeah, to discredit him.
But, I mean, how is that going to discredit him? They the one doing it to the little boy.
Well, I hope that this guy turned that offer down, too.
Oh, my goodness.
But it goes to show you how the Secret Service works to destabilize someone. They were looking at putting on a hoax video of a lookalike having sex with a teenage boy. So, I mean, if you think about that, you think of all the things that have been put out there as deceptions.
It's very... Yeah, because he is Saddam Hussein had, like, how many lookalikes?
Yeah, he supposedly had dozens. Like,
yeah, 40. So who's to say that they even killed the real Saddam Hussein?
Well, I don't believe they did, but it doesn't really matter.
Woo.
Yeah, I just thought that was funny.
Part of it was funny with the little boy, but that was...
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure they, but that's the thing. It's not, the little boy is an incidental.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about what they can do to justify a war.
Mm-hmm.
And since the American people were gullible enough to believe that whole axis of evil and Saddam was in with the Taliban or whatever, they didn't have to go to the little boy route.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Yeah. Or like my man Illuminati again says, funny in the CIA sell crack in L.A. kind of way. Well, that wasn't funny either. But
that shit ain't funny.
But it is definitely interesting along those lines.
Yeah.
On that note, we're gonna go on the break before we get Miss Makita Faye on the line. This is my boys HISD, the Houston Independent Spit District, Galleria Chicks.
Better at Saks and Fifth Avenue, smell like Bath and Body Works, my J. Crew be seeing you. Oh, there's two of you, Macy and Tiffany too. Y'all want bracelets? I got a brass booth for both of you. All hell Zells with an old Fossil Brooks brother. He got Starbucks, hence the Gucci link cuffs. Cuff links, I got a bucket, ends in L.E. Echo Unlimited, off to the foot for athletes. I felt the down-to-earth image, nails and facials. Fools rush in like Jen and Ben again. We hit Thirsties and Wetzel's Pretzels. Her name was Carol Paris. Call me Casual Corner. Candy Headquarters, Body Shop to Workshop to build a bear for ya. Arts to Asia, she was precious like a gem by Chow. Marble slab, she had a chocolate Swiss smile. Let me get that. Sharper image had a stereo. Sleep over, listen to the radio and shack. Up for a night or two or what have you. No boo, today's news don't do gadzoo. 718 lids fitted Patre, navy blue.
Galleria chick, some thick. Some think that all of that plus a bag of chips. If you ain't got a bag of chips, keep on walking, cause that Galleria chick don't think you talking. Galleria chick, some thin, some thick. Some push a booty, some push the baddest flips. If you ain't got a bad ass twist, keep on walking, cause that Galleria chick don't think you talking.
Up in the Apple store, shrink wrapped in apple bottom. She asked, "Are you a Mac?" I'm like, "Nah, but I got a lap. Plus a wireless mouse, that means no strings attached." Word, baby, the fat. Need insurance for that. A hard drive, it's a soft gap. My pops told me that. Not a product, a knocker. You work more than that. Forget them pop up pot blockers and knockers that wanna crash your foot locker. You the Body Shop showstopper. They mesmerized by the mulatto. My Afro Rican Pina Colada. Talking half and half. Hazelnut decaf. Saw from black. Let's hit the bus. I'm kinda thirsty for a lot. Pardon me, latte. Hey, hey, Mrs. Junior, you're so petite. I'm digging your whole mystique. Sexy. No freaks in the bars. Let's get a suite. I'm saying, meet me at the West End. Galleria, that is. You and your best friend.
Galleria, chick. Some thin, some thick. Some think that all of that plus a bag of chips. If you ain't got a bag of chips, keep on walking. Cause that Galleria, chick. Don't think you talking. Yo, Galleria, chick. Some thin, some thick. Some push a booty. Some push the baddest flips. If you ain't got a badass flip, keep
the I, the S, the T.
I don't got much to give.
Hey, baby.
And don't know what I'll get.
I want my gallery of chicks. I need a gallery of chicks. What? I want no gallery of chicks.
Yo, L, tell about this. I met this girl in express, who was trying to express how she wasn't looking for love, she was looking for guests. So some Abercrombie and Fitch face guts on back. Stiletto heels with a tight build that made me react. I usually don't talk to women like that, but she was bad with a coach bag, a body shirt, and Tiffany cash. I made it out to get a photograph and keep it my stash with lovers. But yo, I'm wondering when I see the respect. I didn't want to play myself like that, so I went back to work, cause everybody knows the voice of love. Cause so, gallery of chick. No one no gallery of chick. No one no gallery of chick.
We're talking about the gallery of chick. Gallery of chick. Gallery of chick. Some say something. Some think they all of that, plus a bag of chips. If you ain't got a bag of chips, then keep on walking. Cause that gallery of chick don't take you talking. Yo, gallery of chick. Some say something. Some pushing hoodoos or pushing bad as whips. If you ain't got a bad as whips, then keep on walking. Cause that gallery of chick don't take you talking.
My urban outfit comes equipped with the rims on the whip. Gotta love it how I slip my banana in the republic of a wet seal into that gap field. Like the journey of an athlete, track meet headed towards the finish line. Baby is a lovely dime, but she loves that number nine. West like Ye say, she's addicted to retail, conflicted by details. Now look at what she sells, her conservative body parts. For the liberal arts and crafts, they go beyond like a bed in a bath. Baby, you're making me laugh. Popping that Gucci in exchange for our money, honey. As we express through the limited space and time. Watch the Movado name dropped in the rhyme. Consumers all standing in line to get a glimpse of Miss Galleria's radiant shine. Prime real estate with a gentrified mind. But watch it all decline over time. Galleria chicks,
some saying something. Some thinking all of that plus a bag of chips. But you ain't got a bag of chips to keep on walking.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was HISB, Galleria Chicks. Some thin, some thick. Some push the hula in the badass whips, or something like that. Anyway, welcome back. Yeah, one day I'm going to grow up and be a rapper.
Okay.
No, I'm not. Anyway, we're going to get Miss Faye on the line here. And if I know what I'm doing, which I don't, obviously. I'm a little slow. Hi, my name is Dick and I'm slow. And I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm joking, but I don't
know. Yeah, don't do it.
Okay.
Well, you can if you want, but if it ain't funny, I gotta kill you.
It'll be funny, but I'm not gonna do it.
All right. All right. Okay.
Let's go.
I am trying to make that happen. And it is not. Okay. Let me. I'm sorry, people. I'm having technical difficulties beyond my control. Well, they are in my control. I'm just really really not good. Yeah, technical things, I guess.
Why?
He's calling. He has. Tell you that. Welcome to Smooth Drama, Miss Faye. How you doing?
Hey, I'm fine.
Well,
how are you?
I'm good. We kind of knew you was fine already because I saw your movie and your pictures and whatnot. So.
Oh, you're too much. Thank you.
So, you know, we got you. Speaking of your movie, you know, I saw Speed Dating, and I know you was an actor and producer in the movie.
Yeah.
Talk about, I mean, how you can juggle both of those at the same time, you know, being a producer and the actual actor in the movie.
You know, that's interesting. It's interesting that that's the first question you asked me because I think I had a few outer body experiences. It was extremely, extremely challenging. One episode was so excessive where literally the director called cut. I told him to give me a couple of minutes. I had to run to the bank because I didn't have enough checks. So I had to run to the bank, and it was the last scene in the movie when I'm wearing that formal dress. I ran to the bank in my formal dress to get some more checks so I can cut some checks so we can go to the next scene. It was really crazy. So I would think twice before I do that again. But it was fun. You know, it was fun acting. I love acting. And it was fun just being the business person behind the film and bringing it to fruition. And it's a film that I'm very proud of.
Well, now you talked about cutting the checks. Talk to us. I mean, because we see producer on the film. What exactly does a producer do?
You know, it's a good question because a lot of people have no idea what a producer does, and a lot of people ask me, "Oh, you directed Speed Date?" I'm like, "No, I didn't direct it." So, a director is a little more responsible for the vision of the film. You know, think Steven Spielberg. You know, what is the film going to look like? What's the tone of the film going to be? The producer is more the business person. So the producer can hire everybody. In some cases, the producer hires the directors, hires all the talent, hires all the crew, the hair, wardrobe, and they run the set. You know, making sure. Well, obviously. If you hire good people, then you don't have to worry too well. One characteristic of a good producer, if you've done your job, you can chill on the set and you don't have to worry about it. But things always come up on the set. So you have to make sure everything is running very smoothly on the set. You pay people, and even after after you finish shooting, you have post-production. A lot of people don't even think about that. But post is a lot of times a lot longer than the actual production of the movie. So you're supervising the editing sessions. You like this cut, you don't like this cut of the movie. Let's tweak this, let's tweak that. Let's get the color right, you know. It's a lot of stuff that goes into it, and the producer is ultimately the person responsible for delivering the film that the public sees.
Okay, so that means you got to keep all the extra scenes that you were in the movie?
Yeah, you know what? I took a few of those extra things out. A little, few of them were too much. Y'all don't need to see all that. I was like, look, my makeup wasn't good on this shot. Let me keep that out.
How'd you get involved? I mean, because I know you were a model, and you're reading your bio, beauty contest, beauty queen, contestant winner, model. How did you transfer all that into show business producing movies?
Well, okay, so I've been acting since I was younger. But I actually went to school for engineering. A lot of people don't know, but I do have a PhD in engineering from Georgia Tech, though I'm from Chicago. So after I graduated from Georgia Tech, I moved out to L.A. to act. That's where my heart was. I loved engineering, but I said if there's going to be any time to, you know, follow my dreams, it's going to be now. So after I graduated, you know the story. I packed up my car, drove cross country to L.A., and started acting. And I was the type of person that I've always worked hard in life, and I've always, you know, if I put my mind to it, I was able to achieve it. So I thought acting was going to be the same way. I was going to come out here, work real hard, and be in, you know, Steven Spielberg's next movie in 1 year flat, you know? But it didn't really work like that. And I figured, I learned very quickly that I was going to have to start making things happen for myself.
Right.
And one of my associates called me up one day. He was like, "You're smart. Why don't you help me produce this film?" And I was like, "What's producing?" Like, literally, that's what I asked him. And he was like, "Okay, I'll show you. You know, you kind of have to make sure everything happens." And so I did his movie. I helped produce his movie, which was a very, very small budget movie. But Tanji Miller, if you used to watch Velocity, she was the black girl on Velocity. She was the star of that movie. Just as a favor to him, because it was a really small movie. They had been lifelong friends, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But after I produced that little movie, she said, "Makita, I am actually doing my own movie." And she already had a cast, Flix Alexander, Essence Atkins, you know, Loma Wright, Tasha Smith. You all know and love Tasha Smith from all the Tyler Perry movies. They were already in her movie. And she was like, "Well, help me produce this movie." So that was my second movie. And then from then on, I just kept producing. And Speed Jones Love and Other Four-Letter Words. I did that one. And then I did another one called My Girlfriend's Back with Malik Yoba in it. So, yep. And then Speed Dating was my fifth. All right.
So do you plan on just hanging your head on just producing, staying behind the camera, or do you have any aspirations on eventually being in that Steven Spielberg flick?
You know what? If Steven Spielberg calls me right now, I will take the call. I will tell you I will. But I am leaning a little more towards the business side of things these days, and I'm actually getting into a little TV as well. So hopefully you'll be seeing some perhaps TV projects from me in the future as well as some more movies.
Well, I know you wrote your book, Unleash the Greatness Within You, and
mm-hmm.
I read you finished your first screenplay. I mean, is your screenplay Shortly Ever After, is that what you're looking at throwing on the screen?
I actually co-wrote that with the director of Speed Dating, and I'm actually writing another project right now. Writing is not really my focus, believe it or not. The only reason I'm writing this one is because I had an idea and I felt like, you know, hey, let me try to see if, you know, writing is my thing. But to be honest, it's not something I want to concentrate on. I would rather just concentrate on mainly producing and maybe some acting.
All right, so I mean, you got something in the pipeline. I know you hinted at you were going to do something on the TV screen. Anything you could talk about?
Well, right now I'm working with a company that does TV shows for ABC. So stay tuned. Hopefully I may be involved with some projects that will be on ABC next year. And I'm also working on kind of an action movie. So stay tuned for both of those.
Okay. We'll definitely be looking out for you. Now, I know you do speaking with children. Talk about your involvement in the high school, at the high school level, and I guess maybe in your speaking engagement.
Yeah, I speak to high school students, and I speak to college students from time to time. Usually it's just about helping them become a better student, because a lot of times when students transition from elementary school to high school or from high school to college, they spend so much time transitioning, but by the time they catch up, it's too late. And it's important to start off strong. And a really, really quick example is, for instance, if you start off strong and in high school and you start with a 3.8 GPA, by the time you graduate, you'll be in good shape. But let's say, you know, you're transitioning slow and you're getting the hang of high school and your first semester, or in college, let's say in college, your first semester you end up getting a 2.8, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then your sophomore year, hey, I'm going to get myself back on track. And you can get 3.8 for the rest of your time in college or high school. But because you got that 2 point whatever that first year, you're going to be further, way behind all of the other students that started off strong. So when you talk about getting scholarships, when you're talking about being able to go to college, or when you're talking about getting that good job, you're going to be behind all of the students that start off strong. So I talk to students a lot about that and helping them just be a good student and getting off on the right track.
That's a beautiful thing. I mean, and you showing up and showing them that, hey, I went to school and I'm self-made, you know, because you came out there and you put yourself out there. I mean, it's showing that.
Yeah, and it's hard work. It's hard work and tenacity, you know. Just keep be passionate and keep on working hard and then be tenacious. Nothing in life is easy. Nothing worth anything is easy. So you got to fight and you got to work hard. You got to keep working hard. And then you can really achieve your dream.
Well, and especially when you talk about Hollywood, because I know it's not that easy for the classically trained actor, black woman, black actress to go out there and make a name for herself. So I commend you for that.
Oh,
now,
thank you so much.
Now, one of the bloggers asked, how hard is it for black female actors to find work in the film industry outside of the usual stereotypical roles?
Believe it or not, it's extremely hard right now. I mean, just look around. There are not many black movies that are coming out, and there are not many black TV shows anymore. They're just not. And so that's why it's really important for us to support, you know, the independent movies or even the studio movies, because, for instance, that movie what's the movie that just came out with Zoe? You know what I'm talking about? Colombiana. Right.
Yeah.
So that's a black female in a major movie, and she's the star. She was the only person on the poster. But it did okay, didn't do great. And so guess what? When it's time for the studios to make another big movie and put a black person, you know, in the leading role, they're going to think twice about it, or they might not even do it. So it's really, really important for us to support black movies, support black TV shows, go see black movies on the opening weekend. I know we hear it all the time, but it's so important to go the opening weekend. Because we're already thin. We already do not have a lot of movies. So getting back to the question, it is hard. It is challenging. There are not a lot of roles out there for us now.
Well,
but you can do it. You can do it. If there's a will, there's a way. And if that's where your heart is, it can happen.
Well, I know in speaking of that, you talked about Colombiana. I remember there was a ruckus over a person of interest. I'm trying to think of the actress' name.
Taraji is in Person of Interest.
Yes, she's one of the main characters, but she was left out of all the advertisements.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was very interesting that they wouldn't even put, she's one of the main characters, but she is not put up on any of the advertisements anywhere. And it was commercials, I mean, it post boards, I mean, it was everywhere. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And she was talking about that. And
wow, yeah, I missed that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, I mean, what are your thoughts on that of, I mean, not only you talk about going out on the first weekend and supporting the movies, but when you see that the studios themselves downplay the actresses, black actor actresses in their movies, in the daytime television shows or whatnot.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. My only thoughts are, you know, I'm not the most militant person in the world, but the only way to fix it is to do it yourself. You can always sit back and complain about what the studios are doing, but it's their world, it's their money, they can do whatever they want to do.
True.
It's up to us. It's up to us to, you know, do our own TV shows, do our own movies, but the only way we'll be able to continue doing that is if our community supports us when we do that and not get the bootleg. Can I say that again?
Yeah,
and not get the bootleg.
Yeah.
Because the bootleggers and people not buying movies or DVDs anymore and just bootlegging, it's killing us. It's killing us. And that's one of many reasons why you don't see as many black movies as you should right now, because they make the movies and people don't go out to support their bootlegging. So just try to support.
Right. So tell the people, if they want to catch up to Miss Makita Faye, where they can catch you at.
Well, first of all, please go get the movie, Amazon.com, iTunes, you can buy it. You can buy it on Target.com, Walmart.com. Any of those sites, you can definitely get speed dating, and you'll definitely enjoy it, especially if you like to laugh. And check me out. I'm on Facebook. My name is Makita Faye, M-E-K-I-T-A, Makita Faye, F-A-I-Y-E. It's basically the name Faye with an I before the Y. So that's an easy way to remember it. And just hit me up, and I'm on Facebook, and I'll hit you back.
All right. Well, we actually had one more question from one of the bloggers where they asked, if you had an unlimited budget at your disposal to make a film about a famous person, who would you make a film about?
Ooh, that's a good question. You know what? Wow. So many people are going through my mind right now. Oh, my goodness. Well, there has to be a movie done about Obama. There has to be a movie after he finishes his term. Hopefully he'll get another term. That's definitely a movie that I want to see and I would love to make. You know what? I'm going to have to post that on my Facebook. I'm going to sleep on that tonight. And I'm going to have to post it on my Facebook. But thank you, blogger. That was a really good question. I'm going to have to think about that.
All right. Well, I'll be looking to see when you post it, and I'll throw my discussions out there because I know who I would love to.
Well, tell me who would your choice be?
My choice, I've always, and I figure one day I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do an animated movie about Marcus Garvey.
Oh, okay. That's hot. And, I like that.
Yeah, Garvey's never had a movie. Rarely gets talked about. Marcus Garvey.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of hidden heroes that really need to need us to, you know, tell their story.
Yeah, most definitely. And I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come on the show and talk about yourself and ingratiate yourself with me and my audience. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
All right. So.
Okay. Have a good night.
We thank you. You have a good night, and we look forward to seeing some more good things from you.
Okay.
We're going to see you on the first weekend. I promise.
All right. I love it. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Good night. All right. That was Miss Makita Faye, PhD, you know, as well as a beautiful woman. I mean, she's got the perfect package. Trust me, you fellas. As Taj Malik says, if you Google her and look at the pictures, I saw the movie. And it's like, oh wow, all right. But anyway, we gonna go on a break here. We gonna go back to my co-host. Gonna go back to my co-host town. This is Mad Stally from the great state of Ohio. The autobiography.
Yeah. Let's keep it going. This one right here. Autobiography. Shout out to Ohio. Let's go. I am the first musical note, the first beat of a drum, the African sun. I am a ton, heavy on the mic, a reflection of the ghetto. I am mellow, I am hard as metal, I am a rebel. Without a cause, not a worker, I am certainly a boss. Jack Frost, Fox, Sally Blanco, I am raw. Talent like LeBron with a ball. He shoots, he scores, then he carries them all. Shoulders, I dust them off. If I ever stumble through the Brusselberry standards when maneuvering, I never fumble. My past is what I come to, my future's what they run to. So ahead of my time, no need for a microphone, shut 1, 2. Cause I'm already born, already born to master the ceremony. So what I give to you is happiness, struggle of love, and the reintroduction of that. I am above hope, I am faith in your face to help grow wild and know I'm taking music to a better place.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Mad Stally from the great state of Ohio, The Autobiography. And for those of you who are true hip hop fans, his mixtape, The Autobiography, is one of the greatest musical hip hop CDs I've heard in a while. I mean, it's like. Pretty much all live music is just, it's nice. If you're into that kind of thing, the New Orleans love jazz guy in me, undercover, I'm down with that. But right now, we go into me and Miss 100% favorite part of the week, where we get to talk about the dumbasses. You ready to go with your dumbass, Miss 100%?
Yeah, I am.
All right.
out of New York City, a New York City priest was arrested for fraudulently cashing pension checks worth nearly $250,000. Reverend Victor Rosa was accused of deceiving New York City's teacher retirement system into thinking that the teacher, Maria Sicardo, was still alive. He filled out paperwork and everything after her death in 2000 at age 75 so that the checks could start coming to him. He also fraudulently notarized documents to the teacher's retirement system. And he said, it's really crazy because they said that at the bank, he would be in line preaching to people as he's cashing these fraudulent checks. They said he was often preached about God to other customers while waiting in line. And he said he would return the checks for July, August, and September. So I don't know how you're going to return checks that you've already cashed, but he was arrested last week in Orlando, Florida. And he's supposed to face prosecution by the Office of the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York. So he's going to prison.
Okay, well, I mean, that was kind of smart.
He's going to prison.
Yeah, well, he said he would return the check. He didn't say he would return the cash. You know, those
things. How are you going to return the check that you don't have in your possession anymore?
Well, maybe he made a copy of it. I don't know. Anyway. Well, my dumbass comes from the state of Florida. Kenneth Martin Sorsini, who was, I guess he was a serial pooper. He was caught after a month-long investigation into repeated incidents of feces left on the steps of a portable school classroom. I guess what he was doing was, it started September 14th, and after four incidents on the classroom steps, the cops decided to install some security cameras.
Wow.
And sure enough, of course, they catch him in the act, which I don't know if I would ever want to watch that videotape. And they went and, you know, tracked him down after showing people in the neighborhood the pictures. And when they catch him, you know, he's like, I did it because in front of that classroom there was bad spirits. But he also stated, I need help.
You think?
Yeah.
So he would just go to the school, pull his breeches down, and just squat?
Yeah, he just, on the same steps every time. So, you know, there's a teacher in Florida that's like, come on now. Because you can imagine one time. It's like, all right, there's some homeless man tripping. But we talking about five times.
Mm.
So he just keep coming back like, yo. I'm just thinking of the teachers like, come on, man. Really?
Mm.
This is what I got.
Wow.
Yeah, I just thought that was just funny. Week after week, you can look forward to some shit on your steps. Literally.
No, week after week, the highlight of your week is pooping on the school
steps. On the steps, yeah.
Yeah, nothing better to do.
Yeah, probably not. Now, I did read something where there was a guy who was arrested. Now, this is something, you know, well, I guess we'll debate this another day. We won't get into that because that's a long, long debate. I go into internet providers are now offered the opportunity to bar, you know, put a bar on the porn before you take it home. I thought it was interesting, you know, because BT, Sky, Talk, and Virgin, which are European countries, they offer the protection for the smartphones, laptops, and PCs. You know, because there's supposedly an industry wide thing where they're talking about the sexualization of children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you move forward, and there's BT and Talk are trying to appeal. On the other hand, the Digital Economy Act, which is they're trying to appeal a high court ruling that upheld the anti-piracy law. So basically, the government wants you wants the internet companies to spy on people. And if you go, like, if you're somebody who, say, downloads movies or whatnot, it compels the internet company to alert you, send you a letter saying, hey, don't do that no more. Email, don't do that no more, or we'll cut off your service.
So, it's just another tracking device, to, you know, the file, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we need that because they're trying to convince us that we need this because what?
Well, I mean, it's sort of like they're trying to convince us for the bar on porn or any other adult content at the point of subscription. You would basically be censoring yourself. I mean, because damn near everything is adult. I ran into this. It's funny, at my parents' house, because the little kids that frequent over there, they put parental blocks on the cable, on different cable boxes.
Right.
I'm turning channels, and anything that's rated above PG-13, I cannot watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is very annoying. I am not under 13. And so, when you look at it, everything that you click on the internet that is of any interest aside from Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse, you will not be able to watch any longer. Because that's what we're talking about. And when you talk about that, when I can bar and I can designate, I mean, because from then on, once you open up the door to a designation of barring, then from there, anything that they considered what we shouldn't want to read, well, they don't want us to read or research or whatnot, will just be barred.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it comes down to. So,
it would be different if you could say what you don't want, like, you know, pick the exact things that you don't want your kids to look at, but it's not that way. They decide for you what you and your family can look at on the internet or, you know, so forth. So that's where I see the problem. Again, you were telling me again what's good for me because I'm so idiotic that I don't know what's good for me or what's bad.
Well, it's what's good for your children.
Yeah, but it will also be looking further down the line or further into the future. It would not be just for children. It would be passed on to adults, too, as, like I said, another way of monitoring and tracking adults.
Right.
Now it's meant to keep us in line.
Right. Well, it's not only keeping you in line, but you couldn't, like, as a conspiracy theorist and a person who goes into alternative news, that would not be available to you any longer.
Mm-hmm.
Because it would be that adult content or whatnot. Or as you see a lot of days, video, as one of the bloggers said, video not available, or it's been taken down. I mean, that's something that I've seen happen quite a bit also.
Yeah. Yeah. It's there 1 second, then the next second it's getting too much exposure and they just yank it off of the internet. Yes. That's not unusual.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but that's part of that censorship that people don't look at as not essential to how it is. I mean, it's supposed to be free reign. If I, as an adult, want to watch whatever, I should be able to watch whatever. But we get into the point, it's not like we making an illusion that hasn't happened. But now it's out and out in your face. It's not nothing on the low any longer. It's just, hey, we don't want you to see this. And that's what it is. Take it.
Bottom line.
Yeah. Well, now, unfortunately, where I lived for a minute down in San Diego, I got some news. Well, I read one of my homies, Todd Malik, was talking about a police officer, Christopher Williams, that was shot and killed by a young man who was part of a group of Yoruba believers, and the tragedy of it is, you know, it was Yoruba is spiritual African based belief, and it's, you know, it's about opening up knowledge of self, and the sad part of it is one of the young men involved in the group, he just snapped and decided, that's it, I'm checking out. And so he murders a man that he gets into an argument with, and then he goes and he murders a cop. And it's one of those situations where you talk about knowledge and people gaining knowledge of self, and you go through the phase where you're upset what happened to you historically, and then you're supposed to make the transformation to doing something positive, to remember the past and empowering you and your loved ones so that the past doesn't repeat itself.
Right.
But you get individuals who act off of just impulse and not thinking what revolution really is. Revolution is mental. I mean, obviously, you know, there's the revolution where you fight for your freedom, but just wanting murder just for the sake of it, it does no one any good, and it doesn't help your cause in any way, shape, form, or fashion. You know, when I hear about situations like this, it saddens me, you know, because it's like we don't learn the lesson as people, that we got to elevate, you know, the mind, where it's not about just reacting foolishly.
Or reacting, period. Because, yeah, you know, sometimes you just have to save those reactions, or, you know, everything doesn't have to be acted upon or acted upon immediately. Sometimes you just have to sit back and take your time and think about what your next step will be, you know, what your next move will be.
Yeah. Wise words, Ms. 100%. I want to thank Ms. Makita Faye for coming on and blessing us with her presence on the show. I want to thank everyone, all the listeners, bloggers, for chiming in. I want to thank you, Ms. 100%, for being the great co-host that you are. I'm Dick Hugger, a.k.a. After N-Word, Ms. 100%. We smooth drama. We out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth.
is the lady with her hands
up. Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
Drama.